Oh, how about that?
Oh, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Our number four, Jonathan, where are you? Captain of the Quad Squad. Flash the four, ladies and gentlemen, on a Cowbell Friday. Slide on them Jordache jeans and kick on them lizard skin boots as you climb out of that deep, dark hole. Stand in front of the mirror and shake off that gloom from your shoulders like the lice that hangs out on your hair. Take off that neon comb and brush it back. Brush back that fine feathered hair, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Cowbell Friday on the Doug and Wolf Show. Hour number four, Jonathan, bang the cowbell if you happen to have it wherever you may be right now. Doug Lace, are you ready to finish this?
Yes.
Command and Control, are you ready to finish it? You want a piece of my heart. And you hit the post. Well done, Jesse, and you're not potting it down immediately because we kind of like a little volume on this, Axel.
Do you know the name John Wilner?
John Wilner. Why does that? Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
He is the guy that works for the Mercury News in the Bay Area that is like Mr. Pac-12.
Correct.
I mean, this guy, his insights, his knowledge of what's going on, he's a fantastic reporter. He did a pretty exclusive interview with the Pac-12 commissioner. I've heard his name pronounced so many times before. I'm sorry that it's not off the top of my head, but I believe it's George Klyavkov is how you say it.
Klyavkov.
With a V in the middle. Klyav, but you say it really quick.
I think it's Klyavkov.
Klyavkov, is it? Okay, so I Klyavkov.
Yes.
So you just changed it twice, too.
I just like it Klyavkov. So,
I change it all the time.
Okay, so I don't want to butcher his name, but I still haven't aced the pronunciation of it yet.
He'd be Koff in the locker room.
He did not in any way give a beat down to the previous commissioner, but when you hear this answer to a question of his, it's a beat down.
What up, Koff?
One of the biggest insults, problems, pieces of arrogancy of the previous commissioner, Larry Scott, is his insistence to move the offices of the Pac-12 to the financial downtown area, high rent district of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And the millions of dollars they were paying to be there.
Do you know who I am?
Well, he was asked just simply the question on what is the future of the Pac-12 office location.
Plus, Scomas was there.
So, pretty simple. Hey, what's the future of the location of the Pac-12 office? His first words, it's an expensive office space.
That's what he said first.
Yeah. It's an expensive office space, and the world is changing. I'm not predisposed to a notion of how much square footage we need or where we need to be. But every dollar we make is a dollar that can be distributed to the schools. And any amount we can save without sacrificing integrity, I plan to save so it can be distributed to the schools. And I can tell you this, wherever we are, we won't be paying the same rate.
Can you feel that? Honey,
oh my gosh! I tell you, nobody has
great, man.
No, other than Mark Sanchez, nobody has started better and failed faster than the previous commissioner, Larry Scott. This is a big deal. Oh wow! Rick from Nogales just texted the show on the FanDuel text line at 620-620. Yeah. Hey, you have listeners in Nogales. Thank
Nogales.
You, Rick. Thank
oh,
you, Rick.
Talking about Douglas.
I was just. Douglas. We were talking about Douglas, Arizona earlier. If you didn't hear it, and now we're getting tweets from or texts from around the state.
What up, Nogales?
Of where people listen.
Little Doug and Wolf shout out.
But the big news is the fact that this Oklahoma Texas rumor of going to the SEC is so far and away ahead of being a rumor. It's not just casual conversation or a little exploratory thing. People are reporting that within the next couple weeks they will be in the SEC.
There's got to be some contracts that they're breaking there, right?
Kind of. It's unbelievably expensive. After the last realignment, when Mizzou and Colorado left the Big 12, and Texas almost did, they dramatically changed the contracts. So they're going to, if they leave, here's what's crazy. their media rights are still held by the Pac, by the Big 12, I think until 2025. Yeah, I might be wrong, and it's 2024. Yeah, okay. So therefore, they're playing SEC home games as part of the Big 12 actual conference television package.
Doctor, my brain hurts.
So that's going to be a little strange. But I got to tell you, Oklahoma, I have only driven through your state. The only thing I've ever done in your state is bought gas. So I don't in any way want to act like I'm an Oklahoma expert. But for you to follow Texas to the SEC is really stupid.
Why?
Because think about your alternative. You used to have this great rivalry with Nebraska. And the reason why Nebraska left, granted, they were a little bitter, but the reason why Nebraska left the Big 12 is they looked at it and said, we used to have this great Nebraska-Oklahoma rivalry in the Big 8, and that's been usurped by Oklahoma-Texas, and we're totally ignored here. Oh, and oh, by the way, we'll make a ton more money in the Big 10.
Yes.
Oklahoma, if you would go to the Big 10, you would renew one of the great rivalries of the past in Oklahoma-Nebraska, and you're the top dog. I think you're better than Ohio State. And if I'm wrong, you only have one game to win to be the dominant dog and be the ace in the hole into the college football playoff every year. Now, you're about ready to become Auburn.
Yeah.
You're going to be really, really good.
But you know what, Doug Lease?
But you're not Alabama.
You're right on this, but again, think about this. What is this a harbinger? That's the word I'm looking for. What is the harbinger
of sorrows
of all this?
Oh.
No, that's harvester.
I see.
What is the harbinger here? Well, I mean, honestly, what is coming? Something bigger is coming, ladies and gentlemen. That's why Oklahoma and Texas are running. That's why they're, hey, let's bail and bail now. Let's get out in front of this. What is this? What is coming right now? Could it possibly the Big 12 merging with the SEC to form a super conference?
No.
Could it be the Pac-12 merging with the Big 10 to form another super conference, just like the AFC and the NFC and the National Football League, and then four divisions within each one of those conferences? Could that be a possibility? Yes. Something bigger is coming. And the mice are starting to run, only they're rats. Yeah. And I don't mean that if you're a Longhorn fan. I meant that metaphorically.
I think it's a terrible decision by them to be connected to the Texas hip. The Big Ten is the only conference that rivals the SEC financially, and you are a top dog immediately in the Big Ten. Immediately, you bring into the Big Ten, you have one game against Ohio State for all the marbles to win the conference and be aced right into the playoff. And now,
if you get Texas and you get Oklahoma in the SEC right now, it already, NFL scouts will tell you right now, Basino needs to hang out in the SEC. They hang out there more so than any other conference. It's not even close. Not even close.
Well, this John Wilner has a very interesting article. The Pac-12 prides itself on its academics. And I don't know anything about this specific type of level of what it takes. I'm not in academic circles. I'm in athletic circles as it relates to academics. But there's a priority status among academia to reach, and the Pac-12 really wants to have that level. There's only two schools in the Big 12 that have it. So if there's a mass exodus from the Big 12, Iowa State and KU would be the two schools that you would kind of look at academically that reach the status the Pac-12 is looking for. But is anybody that's an ASU fan excited for a trip to Lawrence or Ames for football?
No.
Now, for basketball, absolutely. A KU-Kansas game, or excuse me, a KU-U of A game every year, and KU going to Pauley Pavilion every year, that is kind of cool. But, man, that's a long trip.
Man, I see it coming. I really do. I see two super conferences, 32 teams in each conference, which makes up that magical 64.
Are you saying the ACC and Pac-12 are dead then? Because you know the SEC and Big Ten aren't going anywhere.
I'm saying there's
going
to be a realignment on the horizon. It's not immediate. It's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen next year. It's going to happen within the next 3 or 4 years. some type of super conference realignment. And that's the reason why Oklahoma and Texas, in my opinion, are running right now.
I think Oklahoma's making a mistake. And I think there'll be four. I think we'll go down to four. The Big 12 will go away. Pac-12 and ACC will still be there, but they won't be as relevant. Your Mounties need to make a decision.
I'm telling you right now.
They got to pray the ACC wants them.
It's going to be a have and have not.
Coming up next, what is this? Let me go into to this. The NFL memo that could change everything. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
If the stars aren't getting vaccinated, then the NFL's got a little bit of a problem.
You got to think that the NFL feels pretty strongly about this. If they're putting themselves out there saying, like, get this vaccine.
This isn't Cole Beasley saying that he's not getting vaccinated. This is DeAndre Hopkins.
Doug and Wolf's. The One.
This is not the one, but I do have to get Wolf's thoughts going here. Run test Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness. Here it comes. Bill Belichick used to have one of the most brutal run tests you could possibly have. Five gassers. Five gassers with a minute rest in between each one. You had to run it in 33 seconds. A gasser is four times across the field, the width of the field.
You know, we got too many penalties going on right now, and we've got to do something about this right here. We're not going to tolerate these penalties.
Yes, okay, thank you, Bill. We appreciate that. Down and
sounds
back.
Like you, actually.
Down and back. A gasser. Just a brutal test.
This is a really strange moment for both the NFL and really all of us as Americans. How do you feel about a player on your favorite team not getting vaccinated and it could affect whether or not your team has that player available? Here's an example of what I mean by that. If you're a vaccinated player and you come in close contact to someone who's tested positive, nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens.
Yeah. You're vaccinated.
You're subject to a 5-day quarantine. That says subject, not mandated, but subject to a 5-day quarantine if you are in close contact with somebody.
Okay.
Well, now imagine your favorite player, or in today's day and age, you've got money riding on this, your fantasy player, or in the gambling age now that we're in where everything's legal in almost every state. You have the opportunity to find out on Friday or Saturday that, oh no, my guy is negative tested, but he came in close contact and he's unvaccinated. Now he's out for the game.
Yes.
So now your favorite team is out an important player, or your wager is in jeopardy because that guy's not playing and you've already made the bet. Well, Michael Irvin, one of the greatest receivers of all time, was on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
2 weeks out in the NFL, your season can be over. The right person out for 2 weeks, your season can be over.
What he's talking about is if you get a positive test and you're totally asymptomatic,
yeah.
Unvaccinated player out 10 days.
10 days.
Vaccinated player, show me a negative test whenever you get it. Wait a day, show me another one. Boom, okay. You're back in.
There you go.
You probably don't miss a game as long as you are able to get a negative test again.
Okay.
The unvaccinated, no, you're out. And that's Michael Irvin saying, I'm not sure I can count on you to want to win.
Your season can be over. So don't tell me you really, 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 really want to win a championship and you're not eliminating this thing. From winning, from possibly stopping you.
Well,
you know, once again, how do you get personal on that? You take something professional and then suddenly get personal.
It's such a difficult conversation because here's where we are. One of the best receivers in the NFL just happens to be an Arizona Cardinal, and he doesn't want to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And this is from DeAndre Hopkins' Twitter account. He did delete it. Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. And so according to Michael Irvin, one of the greatest receivers, a 3-time Super Bowl champion, he did not call, this is not personal to D-Hop, But basically, you could say he's looking at all the D-hops in the NFL and saying, how can you tell me you'll do what it takes to win if you won't get the vaccine? And yet, as soon as I say I agree with Michael Irvin that, you know, this is a chance to eliminate a potential problem for your team, I feel like the biggest jerk in the world that I'm actually commenting on somebody's decision for their own health care.
Yeah, Douglas,
I don't know how to handle this. I admit I don't know how to handle it.
I've been conflicted all morning as well, but that confliction goes away quickly, based on needs, when I think of the personal versus professional. Personal versus professional. Does DeAndre Hopkins have the right to make a personal decision in his life? Yes, he does. And some people put their professional lives over their personal lives. Some people actually prioritize their professional life over their personal life. Hopefully that's not the case with you, Basin audience. Yet you have the right to do that if that's what you want to do. You want to go ahead, I want my professional life is more important than my personal life and my personal relationships. Everybody has the right to make that decision themselves. And yet at the same time, it's not even a question with me. My personal life is always going to take precedent over my professional life. It is. It's not even close. It's like my wife, the warrior queen, the beautiful Miss Stephanie. She's been fighting cancer, right? She's cancer-free, of course, but she's still on the meds that they've given her. She's not going to get vaccinated. She doesn't want to get vaccinated. She has the right to make that decision, in my opinion. And I'm thankful and grateful that we live in this country where they're not going to force it on you, where she does have that right. And everybody's got the right to make decisions in their life. And DeAndre Hopkins is one of those. And I don't look at him as this is, oh my goodness, how could you possibly be such a bad teammate not getting vaccinated? I'm sorry. I don't look at him in that light. And it was interesting to hear Lorenzo Alexander talk about that very thing as well. And that guys understand. They understand once you tell them what it is that the reason why you're not getting the vaccination, they understand it and are pretty sympathetic.
It's a very difficult, I mean, it's really a difficult conversation. And now it leads to potential forfeits.
Like, if the NFL was concerned at all about, like, the science behind the vaccine, there's no way that they would be putting any type of potential mandates. No way they would be saying to players, like, get this vaccine. So you got to think that the NFL feels pretty strongly about this. If they're putting themselves out there saying, like, get this vaccine, like, sure doesn't seem like that they're worried about potential fallout from it.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, it's crazy because if non-vax players suffer an outbreak and the team can't play, the team, as Doug Lee said, forfeits the game and both teams don't get paid. That blows my mind right there. But how are you going to track this? How do you know a vaccinated player didn't suffer a breakthrough like Chris Paul and pass it along to somebody else? How are you going to track all this and know that? How are you going to enforce this policy without some type of retribution? I mean, honestly, I was healthy. I was ready to play. Zoe says they've agreed to this already. They're still operating under the pandemic agreement. And it's always been that way about the forfeiting of games and players not getting paid. That was a piece of information that was critical, Douglas. Critical.
Zoe was let us know is this is not new.
That was the same protocol or same implementation that was a part of last year as well. That was something, if a game got canceled last season, that guys wouldn't have gotten paid. Mm.
Now, keep in mind, the NFL is going to do whatever they can to get that game played. And they had Tuesday games, Wednesday games. They were all over the place last year to make sure games were played. That doesn't change. They're not hoping for forfeits, but they want the players to feel it right now.
Yeah.
That you could be the reason why your teammate doesn't get paid, doesn't hit a signing bonus, or doesn't hit a bonus figure. And now you throw in the other team. You're telling me an unvaccinated, like take DeAndre Hopkins. What if DeAndre Hopkins tests positive, Cardinals are forfeiting a game, and it's against a division opponent, and now they've got to play the Seahawks again?
Yeah.
And you're a safety, and you're looking at D-Hop saying, you cost me $1.3 million.
Surely you just. Who's getting paid that much as a safety?
I should have done that. You're funny on that
I'm just saying, as a corner, maybe.
At D-Hop, I want to tell you personally, I'm on your side as an American in the sense that you have every right to do whatever you want. And I read that tweet and I sympathize with you. I really feel your angst on it. But at the same time, if I'm just keeping it football and not in any way trying to violate any HIPAA law or how you feel as an American about your own body, I do feel like it's an easier chance of winning if you get vaccinated.
Personal life over your professional life.
I don't like these two mixing, but it kind of does right now. Coming up next, Devin Booker's on his way to Tokyo, and he's got $2 with him. But is there any chance this is a different light we can look at for the future of the Suns? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I can't believe this is true, but it's blue check mark. I feel like I should wait till Vincent Price is done.
I mean, it's Vincent Price.
Yeah. I'll wait.
What are you doing? To terrorize y'all's neighborhood. Really? And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell. And rot inside a corpse's shell. Okay, just settle down, Vincent. Please. Memento mori.
Mm. There's a... What I'm looking at right now on my screen. Meme, kind of funny. Older car, late model, getting ready to swerve into a guardrail. Not that that's funny, but
yeah, right.
Maybe he saved it. We don't know. And then a fake highway sign above it. He's on an exit ramp on an interstate. And it says, lose to Maryland in the Big Ten, exit ramp SEC.
Yeah.
And then the car is on the meme is labeled as Texas. Okay, kind of funny.
Yeah.
Lose to Maryland. And if you don't know, a couple years ago, I don't remember what it was, but a couple years ago, within the last 5 years, Maryland upset Texas twice. They signed a home-and-home contract. Maryland upset them twice. So it's kind of funny. So Texas, you weren't able to beat a low-ranked Big Ten team, so now instead of joining the Big Ten, you swerve into the SEC. Okay, kind of funny. It was tweeted out by the actual Maryland Terrapins Twitter handle.
Man, I'll tell you what.
I mean, blue check mark and everything.
That's circumference right
there. I mean, what are you? Whoa. Hello. All right. Good morning. Devin Booker is, I don't know when the flight leaves. I'm not that detailed, but they leave today, in which Devin Booker and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton are all buddy-buddy, and they're flying together on a private charter to Japan.
That's got to be so hard right there. I mean, we talked about this.
I can't imagine.
Can you imagine Drew Holiday and Devin Booker? Correct me if I'm wrong here, Douglas, but do you think Drew Holiday had an impact on Devin Booker?
Yes.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. That was one of the best matchups in the entire series was Drew Holiday and D-Book going at it. And Drew Holiday defending Devin Booker as well. I mean, that to me, how awkward is that situation flying over on this plane? I'm on a plane, indeed, and so was Devin Booker with Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm. Strange. Well, the flight there is about 10 and a half hours.
All right, 10 and a half.
So
you got 10 and a half.
Yeah, I just did.
Okay.
You got 10 and a half hours with your two mortal enemies who are now your teammates and friends, and you're going to Tokyo, and Tokyo.
What did you talk about? What was the conversation about? You know what? Here, I'll talk to you as long as we don't talk basketball.
I don't know. Knowing D Book, he probably would love to. Hey, you're my teammate now. How did you guard me? What did you try to do? What would happen here? Blah, blah, blah.
You might be right about that.
And since they're in a different conference, you know, you're only going to face them twice a year. Maybe they'll open up a little bit. Well, then they will land in Tokyo time, what is extremely, extremely late Saturday. They turn around and play Sunday.
Wow. Okay.
Tokyo time.
Right,
so you hardly any rest. And you're playing France.
France.
Who's really good.
So
if you're Pop, are you playing all three right from the jump? Are you saying, hey, you guys get used to the time change. We're not touching you right now. Because the team's been there for a while.
I would.
You haven't even practiced with the team
yet. I'd be shocked if you played.
Really?
You? I mean,
I don't know.
You haven't even practiced. Man. I mean, I'd be shocked if he played.
Like, does Drew Holiday really need practice to guard somebody that's French? He can shut him down.
No, I understand what you're saying, right? I understand.
Why are you laughing?
What part of France are they coming from? That's what I'd like to know.
The French part?
Was it the Riviera?
Well, I mean,
because
technically,
they're soft as butter.
There's American. There's players that play in the NBA that are going over, so you've got that
aspect,
too. Yes,
okay. What's your point on all of this right now?
I'm thrilled.
What exactly are you trying to say?
What I am interested in, not only just being a fan and watching the game against France, but I am interested in how this affects Devin Booker going forward, in which the original super team of the Miami Heat came from conversations with LeBron James on the Olympic team. So now how is Devin Booker going to look in that circle to where he can connect with other guys and kind of show, hey, this is a place to go. What I love about this the most is not even now. It's 4 years from now. If Devin Booker's 24 years old going to his first Olympics and loves the experience, what happens when he's 28?
Yes.
Is he the main guy or one of the main guys for the United States of America Olympic team? And if he is, well, then doesn't that play really well for more guys wanting to play with Devin Booker, meaning in Phoenix? I mean, here's a guy in the middle of a playoff run for a world championship saying,
very important,
about the Olympic experience to him.
You know, life goal of mine, I've always said, you know, I think it's the most prestigious event, you know, that basketball can find. So to be a part of representing your country, I think brings you to a whole nother stratosphere of, you know, the guys that, just thinking of the guys that have came before us and represented our country. And, you know, I don't think there's anything better than winning a gold medal.
Just think about that, right?
That's strong.
How well that is said by Devin Booker. And I'm sorry, but it makes me think of Monty Williams and James Jones and the culture they have truly created here. It makes me think about that. When you think about show up on time, work hard, defend, share the ball, and what's the fifth? Gratitude. Gratitude. Not entitlement. Gratitude. That's what I hear from Devin Booker when I hear that cut. Not entitlement, gratitude.
Mm.
It's huge.
The only even remote negative, and I don't think it's a big deal because he's 24 years old, but not going to be a lot of rest. Gold medal game comes up in about 2 weeks or so, and then about 8 weeks, 7 weeks after that, training camp starts for the Phoenix Suns. Because as of right now, they totally plan on starting their season on the old schedule. Games are not pushing it back.
By the way, Devin, if you happen to be listening all the way from Tokyo.
He's in Seattle.
Oh, that's right. He's in Seattle.
Or on the plane.
Right. Well, maybe he'll hear this on a podcast
okay.
in Tokyo. Maybe that's what he'll hear right there, Dougie's.
You're right.
Start recruiting. Start recruiting. It's never too early. Start planting those seeds because Phoenix, Arizona has become, in the NBA, a destination city. How's that feel?
Dame Lillard supposedly was out of Portland.
Good! Just saying.
Coming up next, that's really good. Coming up next, the Arizona Cardinals have already started training camp for the rookies and the veterans report on Tuesday. The first week of practice is already organized publicly. Here we go. Are they as ready as we are? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is Kyler Murray, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah. Just setting y'all up for today. You're only good as your last session.
Oh, feels like the Arizona Cardinals are going all in.
Baby. Ready for this year. I think we will be a lot better.
Two of our offseason goals are becoming more physical as a football team and adding leadership to our locker room.
Here we go!
Baby.
We did some good things last year and made some big strides, and I anticipate us doing even more this season.
Baby. Let's go!
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready. And I don't mean for this beautiful part of the program. I mean for football. I love basketball so much that was filling a huge void in my life watching the Suns run. And now I'll never get over it, but I'm getting closer to be ready to move on and start football season.
Yeah.
I don't know. I bet you're already there.
Just honestly, right now, the Suns, what an awesome watch that was this year. And the anticipation, the expectation is incredible going forward. But I'm still absorbing the goodness of the Suns and the culture that they created. And the fact that the fan base is back in force for the Phoenix Suns once again. It just seems so natural. And you know what? Honestly, even though it sucked buttermilk in a big way that they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA Finals in six, man, I cannot help but look to the future. I cannot help but look forward with this team and look at the young players on this team and the way that I think this experience is not only going to make them hungry, but also teach them so much going forward. And I can't wait to see that dividend get paid off next year. Having said that,
I thought there was a having said that,
the rain here is a little weird. There's no doubt about it, because for me, when you talk about Phoenix and you talk about the start of training camp, it's not just always a monsoon. It's heat and humidity. And you know we don't get a ton of humidity here in the basin, right? But when football starts, it's usually in the middle of the monsoon season for the most part. So you get that humidity here. And that humidity, every time it comes around here, man, it makes me think of Ball. And it makes me think of the first time I ever drove up to Flagstaff, Arizona, 7,000 feet elevation, driving up in a Jeep with a bikini top that went right through a monsoon. I had no doors on it, just a bikini top. Drove up to Flagstaff, had no idea about the monsoon, and then got waylaid on the way up. Can you imagine how unbelievably uncomfortable that trip was up that hill? Soaking wet because of the the dust. I will tell you right now, I saw the cloud of dust coming at me, a haboob, right? I saw it and could not believe it and wondered, I kid you not, I had no idea about the monsoon. Nobody told me about the monsoon. Nobody said a word about it. I flew into Phoenix, I got the Jeep, and I drove up the hill. Nobody said a word about the monsoon. And all of a sudden, there's this wall of dust. And it's just coming right across the desert floor. What the heck is that? Pull over. What are you doing, you madman? And then the rain, torrential rain and wind that came behind it. Man, I'll tell you what. I even said it at the time. Annie M. Go ahead and Google it, my young crunks. Auntie M. Old Wizard of Oz reference. Many of our people out there understand the Wizard of Oz was popular at one point. Doug Leafs, do you have anything you want to say at this point in time?
I haven't decided.
Save me, please. Bail me out.
I'm glad that I'm here for you. The biggest national story NFL-wise, and it's actually usurping Aaron Rodgers, and whether or not he's going to report to camp, is the comments of Michael Irvin to 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Why do we get all of these OTAs and all of the conditioning you do? Why do you do that? You do that to eliminate anything that will stop you to from getting a championship. So I don't want being out of shape to cause me some football games, to cause me wins, so I get in shape. I run plays over and over and over again so I can perfect the play, because I don't want a mistake to stop me from winning a championship. My job as a player, my job as a leader, is to eliminate anything that can stop me from winning a championship. And damn it, now we have to deal with COVID, because COVID can stop you.
How do you feel about that, Douglas? What are your thoughts when you hear Michael Irvin?
I feel like he's right, and I feel uncomfortable talking about it publicly.
I mean, I'm conflicted on this issue. I have been all morning long, and I'm going to stay right in the middle. And I make no apologies for that. I can tell you right now, I'm vaccinated. I there was not even a question, but that was something that was a simple decision to me, because I've always done that. I've always done that. I'll always do the thing that I have to do to take care of my family. That is what I've done. And back when I played in the National Football League, my first career, ladies and gentlemen, guess what that was all about for me personally? That was going out, being a physical presence on the team, and being a physical presence on the team when I only weighed 222 pounds as a blocking fullback. That was a tall task. And I can tell you, it wasn't just being physical, it was also being available. And because I was so physical, now all of a sudden these train wrecks, play after play after play, running full speed into a man the size of Saturn's third moon, and suddenly your body gets messed up. And I always knew, take a shot. Let them shoot the blue juice in you. Because that's why you're in the National Football League. Because A, you're physical, and B, you're available. Now that has changed, ladies and gentlemen, from when I played. There's no doubt about it. But that was the mentality. And I knew I had to do that to take care of my family, period. Just like even now, getting the vaccine was never a question to me. I had to get the vaccine to work in the NFL. Not that they told me that. Nobody ever told me that. Just, it's something that you know the NFL wants you to do. And if you want to work in it, that's what you're going to do. And I did. This is a different situation. You're talking about a player in this locker room right now. DeAndre Hopkins has the right to put his personal life above his professional life, as we all do.
Good column on it at ArizonaSports.com if you want to read it. Last thought before the U, I got to tell you, I'm only speculating here. I have no reports on this, but there seems to be a growing groundswell of tweets about the remaining teams minus West Virginia of the Big 12/8/7, kind of looking at a Pac-12 merge, but Kansas is kind of looking at the Big 10. And so do you really want the remnants of the Big 12? Does that really help you if you're the Pac-12? I don't know.
Run.
I don't know.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the U. It's all about
the U. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show, I don't care if this is cheesy, the weather.
Okay, Basinonians, WVU, they're on their way to the ACC.
You better hope.
That's right.